בוקר טוב רבותיי, ערב שבת שלום. Today is ערב שבת פרשת בשלח, שבת שירה. One of the most joyous Shabbatot of the year. It's the parasha during which we mark Am Yisrael's passage and crossing Yam Suf, the Red Sea. And that's why it's called Shabbat Shirah, because they sang as Yashir Moshe, the most famous Shirah in Tanakh. And because of that, there are several minhagim that different keilot implement this coming Shabbat. Especially, for instance, I know Moroccans and several other Tunisians also and other keilot before Nishmat Kol Chai, after Az Yashir, they insert the portion of the Torah V'tikach Miriam HaNevi'ah Achot Aharon Et HaTov B'yadah, insert that part in their certain piyutim, even though Maran Zichron Baruch Hu was not so fond of that minhag, but it is a legitimate minhag among several keilot. But there's a bunch of other things, a bunch of other minhagim that I will introduce soon that have to do with Shabbat Shira, and we have to determine today the halachic validity of these minhagim. So first and foremost, I want to introduce this sugya. There's a mishnah in Masechet Betzah that is quoted la'alacha by the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Kav Dalet in Hilchot Shabbat, Sa'if Yud Aleph. I'll read it to you. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows. אין נותנים מים ולא מזונות לפני דבורים ולא לפני יונה שובח ויונה עלייה. You're not allowed to feed or give to drink bees, even that belong to you, or birds, whether they're domesticated, they're in a birdhouse, or anywhere else on your property. The reason for that is because bees and birds are able to find, they're able to scavenge their own food and water on Shabbat, and therefore, for you to go ahead and feed them is considered a torach shelo latzorech. It's considered a bother on Shabbat for an unnecessary purpose. The Shulchan Aruch continues, and he says, "Velo lifnei chazir." Also, you're not allowed to feed a pig. The Mishnah Berurah explains that even if it's your own pig, you're not allowed to feed it. The reason for that is because you're not allowed to own a pig. You're not allowed to raise pigs, and therefore, you're certainly not allowed to feed it on Shabbat. אבל נותנים לפני אווזים, תרנגולים ויונה ביתות. Nevertheless, you are allowed to feed geese, chicken, and domesticated birds at home that you own. Like if you have a parrot or a parakeet for that reason, because over there, the Shulchan Aruch says, וכן לפני כלב, also in front of a dog, שמזונותיו עליך. Why? If you own these things, you own these animals, you have a responsibility to feed these animals. There's a mitzvah ta'aseh min ha-Torah to feed these animals, she'ne'emar. V'natati eisev b'sadecha livhemtecha ve'achalta v'savata. From here we learn that you must even feed your animals before you sit down to eat. That's one of the problems in halacha. People don't realize, people ask me all the time, what are the halachot of owning pets? Yeah, I'm not sure why, but in this generation it's exploded that it's, you know, it's become the latest fad to have pets, dogs and cats and all manner of wildlife in the house. Are there halachic issues? Now that's a totally different discussion, but I'll just tell you one issue of owning pets is that anytime you sit down to eat, you have to make sure that your animals have eaten first if it's their meal times, because otherwise you could be transgressing Torah law. That's just one of the issues. But anyway, these animals that you own, whether it's chickens or geese, dogs, whatever it is, those you are allowed to feed on Shabbat because they rely on you for food. They cannot find food elsewhere, these domesticated animals and birds, and therefore you're allowed to feed them on Shabbat. So much so, very interesting, the Mishnah Berurah points out that when we mention a dog, although we said that you have to own it because you're responsible for it, but by dogs, it's a little bit different. By dogs, even if it's a stray dog, because they have sachar, since they didn't bark, like we saw in last week's parasha, ulchol b'nei Yisrael lo yecheratz kelev leshono leme'ish ve'ad isha. We know that by makat bechorot, when the dog, in general, when the dogs see or sense malach ha-mavet, they bark. And because they didn't by makat bechorot, so they gained, there's a mitzvah to feed any dog, whether it's yours or stray dogs. You're even allowed to feed a stray dog on Shabbat or a dog that doesn't belong to you because of this mitzvah. But otherwise, we see from here that you are not allowed to feed any animals on Shabbat that are not your own. Not that there's an isur, you know, there's not performing any milacha or isur deoraita by feeding an animal, but there is a rabbinic enactment because you're not allowed to be toreach, you're not allowed to be bothered on Shabbat or overexert yourself for animals who are not your responsibility, and feeding them is considered overexertion. That's the halacha. The Mishnah Berurah on the spot over here brings down the psak of the Magen Avraham, which the Mishnah Berurah adopts as well. And he says as follows. Yesh noagim liten chitin lifne ofot b'shabbat shira, ve'eno nachon share en mezonotan alecha. He says there are those who have the minhag to put out some wheat kernels or breadcrumbs for birds on Shabbat Shira, Shabbat Parashat B'Shalash. And the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Magen Avraham, says this minhag is inappropriate. Why? Because when you put out bird feed on Shabbat, which birds are you trying to feed? Random birds that don't belong to you. And like we just saw from the Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to be feeding animals that don't belong to you on Shabbat because of the extra Torah. So, Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah, certain Poskei Ashkenaz, say that this minhag is inappropriate. That's why by many poskim Ashkenazim, they say, we'll explain soon where this minhag came from. But according to this Mishnah Berurah, if you want to be mekayim the minhag, they would say, put out the kernels or the breadcrumbs before Shabbat, in which case it would be mutan, and then the birds will come on Shabbat to eat them. Usually, you know, birds come in the morning to eat, so that's that. That's the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, Magen Avraham, Ba'al HaTanya, Shulchan Aruch Harav, also holds like that. Nevertheless, Maran Zichrono Levracha in Chazon Ovadia, Shabbat Chelek Dalet, page Resh Ayin Aleph, disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah, and he defends the Minhag for six different reasons. You ready? There's, especially, you have to know, when there's a widespread Minhag in Am Yisrael that's kept by many religious Jews, you can't, it's you know, you find many times poskim, they're not so quick to dismiss a Minhag. You can't just dismiss it and say it's bad. Why? Because if it's customary among so many Jews who are Shomer Torah Mitzvot, and they do this in the presence of Rabbanim and Poskim, so there's got to be something behind it. Maran Zichron Bracha goes out on a limb here to defend the Minhag. Let me explain. He says, first of all, he quotes a Me'iri. The Me'iri, in the beginning of the third Pirik of Masichet Beitzah, where the Mishnah speaks about this, where the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to feed random animals that you don't own on Shabbat, the Me'iri says these words, V'nir'ali, shelo ne'esar ela b'mzonot sheyesh bahem torach, v'u mechazer achar chaya v'ha'of la'achilam ola ashkotam, aval zrikat perurim mutar. He says the only time the Mishnah says this is asur is when it's truly a burden, when you're running after animals to feed them, to give them drinks, whatever. But if you're just throwing crumbs, there is no exertion, yeah, you open up your back door, you go into your backyard, you throw a bunch of crumbs on the ground, or you put down a bowl of bird feed, whatever it is. Yeah, how much exertion is that? Nothing. Therefore, the Me'iri says that would be mutar. Independent of Shabbat Shira, has nothing to do with it. Just throwing crumbs, let's say, for instance, you have some crumbs, breadcrumbs on your Shabbat tablecloth, and you want to clean it for tomorrow, so you want to take it outside and shake it out. Mutar asur, it's mutar. Why? Because it's not, you're not doing anything exerting. That's number one. Number two, there's a Tosfot in Masechet Beitzah Daf Kav Gimel. The Tosfot say this isur of feeding random animals because of the overexertion only applies to Yom Tov. Why? Very interesting. Until now, even though the Shulchan Aruch says it applies to Shabbat as well, but the Tosfot say no, it only applies to Yom Tov. Why? Because on Yom Tov, since Melechet Ochel Nefesh, works that have to do with food preparation are mutar, we're afraid that if you start feeding animals, you'll come to trap them. And trapping is asur on Yom Tov. So because of that, the Chachamim made a siyag, the Chachamim made a fence, and they said, you know what? Don't feed random animals on Yom Tov. But on Shabbat, when melachot that have to do with food preparation anyways are asur, we're not afraid that you're going to come to trap the animals, say the Tosfot. Feeding animals, even when it requires exertion, is completely mutar on Shabbat. We don't hold like that, but that's another reason, especially where there's no exertion, to allow for this custom. Yeah. There's another interesting shita in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Kav Dalet, the Olat Shabbat. He writes another reason for leniency with regards to Shabbat Shira. And he says like this, when do we say that you are not allowed to, what do we say about pigeons? The Shulchan Aruch says you can't feed pigeons in the birdhouse. Why? Because they can find, they can scavenge food from anywhere. They can fly around and find food anywhere. Says the Olat Shabbat, that only applies when there is food in the field. If it's like in the summer months and food is readily available. But if there's no food to be found in the field, let's say it's the dead of winter. So he says over there, you're allowed to feed even your pigeons in the coop or pigeons in a birdhouse or whatever it is, because they're not able to find food elsewhere, then you're allowed to feed them. Rabotai, what season does Shabbat Shira fall out in? It's during the winter, dead of winter. It's freezing outside. This Shabbat is going to be 11 degrees outside. I don't know, you know, who knows where the food, where the birds are finding food. Therefore, based on this Olat Shabbat, that's another reason to uphold this minhag of feeding the birds on Shabbat Shira, because it's possible that they won't even find food elsewhere. Now, listen to this. There is another very interesting Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, who is considered among the Ashkenazim, there's two of the greatest poskim of the last generation among Chachmei Ashkenaz was the Mishneh Berura, which was Agon Chafetz Chaim, Agon of Yisrael Meir HaKoyim. And then you have the Aruch HaShulchan, Agon of Yechiel Michal Alevi Epstein. He was the Av Bedin in Novardok. Many times the Mishneh Berura and the Aruch HaShulchan don't see eye to eye about certain halachot. So there are different customs among Ashkenazim who to paskin like, who to rule like when there's a machloket between the Mishneh Berura and the Aruch HaShulchan. Over here, this is one of those cases where the Aruch HaShulchan takes on the Mishneh Berura and he says, uh-uh. He says, I think that Minhag Yisrael Torah, the Minhag of feeding birds, wheat, kernels, or crumbs on Shabbat Shira, is a great Minhag. He says, why? Listen to this. He writes, Lefi sha'ofot amru shira alayam. We know, the Midrash tells us that in Yam Suf, when they crossed, it wasn't just water. The Midrash says that there were trees growing, fruit trees, all kinds of fruit trees. By the way, that's why Parashat B'Shalach will always be the Shabbat before. Right, Tu B'Shvat. There you go. Yeah, Shabbat B'Shalach, Shabbat Shira is always the Shabbat before Tu B'Shvat every single year, because to remind us of the Midrash that says that all manner of fruit trees grew on the ocean bottom of Yam Suf, and as Bnei Israel were passing, the children picked fruits from the trees and ate it, men, women, children. And what happened was, the Midrash also tells us that the birds, this is the Aruch HaShulchan talking, when Am Yisrael started singing Az Yashir Moshe, the birds started joining in song as well. Birds chirping and singing, they started joining Am Yisrael in the Shira. And to reward the birds, the children who had fruits, they gave over the leftover to the birds as reward for joining them in song. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, ואנו מחזיקים להם טובה, ובזה זוכרים גם כן שמחת שירת הים. We have הכרת הטוב to the birds for joining us in the song at sea. And therefore, also to remind ourselves of the ness of Shirat Hayam, that's why it's not that we're trying to feed the birds. The birds don't need our food. We are trying to express our hakarat hatov, and therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, this minhag of feeding the birds, even on Shabbat of Shabbat Shira, is Chai V'Kayam. Now, the Sefer Or Pnei Moshe also says another very interesting reason for this minhag, and he defends it also to do it even on Shabbat. We know another very famous topic in Parashat HaShavua is Parashat HaMan. Yeah, this past Tuesday, Am Yisrael was abuzz as a result of the minhag, the segula, mentioned by a Gaon Menachem Mendel of Rimonov, to read Parashat HaMan, especially on Tuesday. By the way, the Bet Yosef says that if you want Parnasa B'Shefa, read Parashat HaMan every day. That's a different story. Why? Because Parashat HaMan teaches us what? Teaches us that Parnasa is only from Shamayim. Let's look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishtabach Shemo. Am Yisrael needed bread and water when they came out of Mitzrayim, correct? They're going to the desert, they needed bread and water. Not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them bread and water in the form of Man and Be'er Shel Miriam, look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it. In general, where does bread come from? The ground, right? Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Where does water come from? From the sky, from the clouds, rain. Yeah? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Am Yisrael bread and water in the Midbar? Exactly the opposite. The bread came from the sky, and the water came from the ground, from the Be'era Shel Miriam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't only give them parnasa, he showed them, he completely switched the order of Ma'aseh Bereshit to show them that parnasa is anything but natural. Parnasa is supernatural. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu commanded Aharon. Yeah, what Moshe Rabbeinu commanded Aharon to do with the man? Anybody remember?
To take it into the Aharon Kodesh in a jar.
Yeah, to take the jar of the man and put it in the next to the Aharon. And it was kept there. Rashi HaKadosh brings down in Parashat HaShavua that when Yirmiyahu HaNavi, during the period of Bayit Rishon, when Am Yisrael were kind of going off, and he scolded them, he reprimanded them for not setting aside more time for Torah study. He asked them, why don't you study Torah? And they said, if that's the case, what's going to be with Parnasah? When are we supposed to work? Yirmiyahu HaNavi went to the Aron in the Beit HaMikdash, and he took out the jar of man, and he showed it to Am Yisrael. He said, what? This is a reminder that when Am Yisrael do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, Hashem makes it rain Parnasah, makes it rain sustenance and bread and anything that we need from the Shaman. So he says, because of that, this, remember, Am Yisrael are also, birds symbolize Am Yisrael, and therefore, in order to remember, just like birds, yeah, do birds have to work hard for their panasa, for their food? They fly anywhere they want, any rooftop, any street. They find seeds. It's very easy for them. By feeding the birds on Shabbat, says the Or Pene Moshe, by feeding the birds on Shabbat Shira, we are reminding ourselves that just like birds have parnasa easily and wherever they go, Am Yisrael, when we also read Parashat Aman, when we remember that parnasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we toil in Torah and do the mitzvot, we will also be the recipients of parnasa b'shefa u'kalut. That's what he says, and that's why he defends the minhag. Very interesting. Now listen to this. There is another midrash that, you know, some authorities say is not an official midrash, but there is a tradition that's brought down in Sefer Ta'amei HaMinhagim, Sefer Mata'amim. It's quoted by the Chozeh Milublin. It's quoted by Rav Buni Mepshischa. It's quoted by Rav Menachem Mendel Miriminov. Such a tradition. Moshe Rabbeinu told Am Yisrael, we know, very interesting, the man, I told you everything about the man was so supernatural, unbelievable. Every other day of the week, what would happen? Moshe Rabbeinu warned Am Yisrael not to leave over man until the next morning. You had to consume whatever, you know, that amount every day. What happened if people, and people did try to leave over man for the next morning? What would happen?
Tolaim.
It would rot and get wormy. Yeah. However, in spite of HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Am Yisrael not to do that, there was one day a week where miraculously that didn't happen. That was on Yom Shabbat. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, and Moshe Rabbeinu told Am Yisrael on Friday morning, go out and gather a double portion of man. Then, you know, you'd usually take one portion for during the week. On Erev Shabbat, on Friday, go out and take a double portion because the man is not going to fall on Shabbat. And you'll see that even though you're not supposed to leave it over any other day of the week, Shabbat morning is going to come, and it's not, like the Torah says, V'lo yiv'ish v'rimma lo haitavo. Moshe Rabbeinu says, man is not going to fall on Shabbat morning. You're going to need that double portion. Hence we have Zecher Laman, we also have a double portion, we also have double bread, Lechem Mishneh. Yeah, like the Torah says, V'aya Lechem Mishneh, al asher yilketu yom yom. What happened? The tradition is that the Tan v'Aviram, the troublemakers, they wanted to disprove Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu said that the man wouldn't fall on Shabbat. So what did they do? They took a double portion on Friday morning. On Leil Shabbat, on the night of Shabbat, the Tan v'Aviram went out into the field and they took their portion of man. They didn't care to starve. They crumbled up their portion of man and they scattered it in the field so that when Am Yisrael would wake up on Shabbat morning, they would say, oh, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu Chas V'Shalom lied. He says the man would not fall on Shabbat. You see, it did. What happened? There was a glitch in their plan. They came and planted the man They came and scattered it on Lin Shabbat. But sometime during the night or very early on Shabbat morning, birds came and they ate up all of the man in order to make sure that nobody casts any doubt or aspersions on Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy. And as Hakarat HaTov to the birds for coming to the defense of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, just like they came and ate the man then, as Hakarat HaTov, we come and feed the birds on Shabbat morning of Parashat Shira, of Shabbat Shira, of Parashat B'Shalach. For all of these reasons, Maran Zichron Baruch Hu says that there's no reason to be machmir. The minhag of Am Yisrael to feed the birds on Shabbat morning is chai v'kayam. It's perfectly acceptable, and you may do it. There are those, you know, even among Poskei Ashkenaz, like I told you, the Aruch HaShulchan and others, Migdolei HaChassidut, they also say this minhag. You want to be yotzei all opinions. You want to be choshesh for the Mishnah Berurah. That's perfectly fine. You can take it out, put it out right before Shabbat, and that's fine. But if you want to do it on Shabbat morning, like we said, there is plenty of room to do so. There's plenty of sources to rely on that allow this custom. So we'll pause for a moment, and then we'll go to say a vort on Parashat HaShavua.